We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Don't you just like it now where you're not dealing with the old contract negotiations like Carl used to have to get into every year with the first round picks? And you were wondering if they were going
to
be in Canada?
I guess, but it was kind of fun that there was a little dance to it.
Now it's just
here's your slot. Do you want to sign or not?
Just as a fan right now.
No, it's much more. It's much easier.
Yeah. Just get the guys in camp and let's get going, man.
Yeah. Work through this fast. You all know what the parameters are. Get the deal done. Let's go. Yeah. There's a level of comfort when you know everybody's going to be there by the time camp starts.
Absolutely.
Right? From a rookie perspective.
Yeah, you're ready to roll and you don't have to deal with that. And really, what I liked about it, and it's been going on a decade now, Josh, can you believe this new collective bargaining agreement is almost already up? Remember when we were going through that, you know, almost 10 years ago now, with that first collective bargaining agreement that everybody was fighting over? It was all about getting those rookie salaries down, which they've done a great job of doing. I mean, nobody should be making $50 million because you're the first-round draft pick. You never played a minute in the National Football League. You shouldn't be making more money than guys that are busting their ass and have played for 8 or 9 years in the NFL. And a lot of the times it's a 50-50 proposition whether or not you achieve even success, you know, in the NFL as a draft pick. So you're spending a lot of money on guys that never proved it to anybody. So I understand what they did, and I like what they did. I'm not going to say, like, in our jobs, like, you miss Carl Peterson yelling in the elevator with John Tate's agent and stuff like that. That was great theater. But from just a fan standpoint, I want my team there and ready to go on the first day of training camp, and let's get this thing started, because we all have that goal of getting to the Super Bowl and winning a championship, and you need all your guys there to do it. You can't have a guy straggling in 10 days late because he was in a contract dispute.
Your chance to win the 8 o'clock hour prize, a Flying Horse Taproom gift pack just for listening. We give stuff away at 7, 8, and 9 o'clock, and we make it very simple. Ryan tries to.
If you haven't established that by now, then you haven't been paying attention. But yes, I always keep it simple on you. All you have to do is listen for this. Next time you hear that.
Wow, what was that?
That was, I have it labeled as mocking mustard.
Okay.
I think it was from like a Heinz commercial or something. Either way, next time you hear that, drop me caller number.
Let's go with caller number 10.
Caller number 10. The next time you hear that, to 913-576-7610. 7610 for you playing along at home as well. Be caller number 10 when you hear that, and I will get you set up with a gift pack to the Flying Horse. Get you a crowler of beer, a delicious flatbread pizza. I recommend the Nacho Con Pollo.
Nacho Con Pollo.
Oh, it's delicious. And a awesome t-shirt, all from our friends over the Flying Horse.
Yeah, the Royals 7.5 back of that final wild card spot right now in the American League. So can we go caller number 7.5, or should we just stick
with, we cannot do 7.5.
All right.
Seven.
How do I answer it? Well, what are we doing here? Or 10?
10. Let's go 10.
10?
Yeah.
10. Final answer?
Final answer.
We're locking that in.
We're locking it in.
Okay. Yes. 10.
10.
Oh, 7. No, 10?
10.
All right. You mentioned 7.5. If you've looked at the wild card standings, yes, the Royals are in last of the division.
Mm-hmm.
They are 7.5 back of the wild card.
Right.
Ken Rosenthal wrote a piece yesterday. It did center on a little bit of Alex Gordon, and that if he wanted to go to a contender, they would oblige.
Correct. Okay? Correct, yeah.
But internally, they are thinking they're making a run for the second wild card.
Right. That's stupid.
Which I think you have to do, which I think the mindset is great. I've come to Ryan's side of things on Alex Gordon a little bit, that hey, as much as I would be the heartless jerk that would just go ahead and deal him and get some stuff in return at the tail end of his contract, knowing you're not going to re-up him for $23
million,
you got to realize the Royals are a little different beast.
Sure, they are.
There's some emotion tied in to Alex Gordon.
And he can veto any trade deadline.
Yeah, well, that too. If he doesn't want to, ultimately, he doesn't have to. But, if you get him to want to do that, I think it would make sense. But it seems like all parties involved aren't going down that road, and that's fine. Dayton Moore called him one of his favorite players ever to watch. Mm-hmm. You know, and like, well,
he enjoys him.
He's locked in. So, but, you know, their thinking is not so much that, but we have a shot at the second wild card.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you a legitimate question? Because this is how I saw it. As soon as I heard Bob say it and as soon as I had seen that Rosenthal had printed it was, why is there such a big discrepancy between like what most fans think this team is and what the front office seems to think this team is? Because I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility for this team to lose 100 games, right?
Right. They're already more than a quarter of a way to 100 losses, and we just hit the, you know, the quarter point of the season.
45, 50 game mark somewhere in there, yeah.
They're on that pace, yes.
Yeah. Like, you're on pace to do that. It is not outside the realm of possibility, and if someone were to say that, I don't think you're an uneducated fan. As a matter of fact, I think you're being really realistic mm-hmm. with what this team is and what the bullpen is having or is doing to this team and how it's kind of just, you know, lost
the
games.
The bullpen's gotten better. The starting pitching has kind of come back down to earth a little bit.
He needs some credit, Scott Barlow. Either way, like, I think there are plenty of people that think the Royals could pace to lose 95 to 100 games.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're on pace to do that right now.
When you look at the wild card over the last couple of years, and granted, when the Royals were making their playoff runs, like 88 games would get you a wild card spot. It's been about 90 to 92 games is what it takes to get a wild card spot. That's a difference of about 30 games. Like, that is a canyon of a discrepancy between a realistic fan standpoint saying, I think we can lose 95 to 100 games, and the front office saying, we could win 90 and get the second wild card. Like, what is the deal?
Well, I think when you talk about fans for the Royals, the social media fans, whatnot, that they're always looking for worst-case scenario and always thinking that if something's going to go wrong and something's going to be bad. Front office has to always look at the positive side of things. And the front office has to always be positive when it comes to this ball club, because if the front office is walking around with a negative attitude, that's going to rub off on the players, and the players aren't going to go out there and play well.
A dose of realism, though.
But I think this is a year that, like, this is 2011, guys. I mean, this is 2011 all over again. You got to get somewhere between 70 and 75 wins, I think, for fans to feel good going into the offseason.
Yeah, I don't think
for
you
this
can
ball
go
club.
100 plus and, you know.
Right, if you lose 102 games, I mean, and then you're saying you want to bring back the courts, it is going to be a tough
sell. You have to
sell
me on back-to-back 100 lost seasons being something that's going to just be flipped.
Right.
The next year, that's a tough sell. They need to start stacking up some wins.
They really do, and it matters, too, because, Josh, you look back at the group that won the World Series in 2015. 2015 happened because 2014 happened. 2014 happened because they started to build that momentum in 2013. And 2013 happened because of where they were in 2012, and you started to sense that, all right, this ball club is ready to kind of turn the corner and start winning games at the big league level. And you got that great feeling in 2012 because 2011 you had the initial call-ups. And so this year right now we're looking at 2019 is 2011 all over again. Next year will be 2012, and the year after that will be 2013. And so that's when you're going to start to really see the successes at this big league level. But you can't finish this year losing 100 games. I don't remember what the Royals ultimately ended up finishing back in 2011. I guess I could just click on that and look it up right now. They were 71-91. In 2011, okay? So they won 71 games that year. The following year, in 2012, they improved by a game. They went to 72 wins. Then in 2013, they had 86 wins. So the big jump was from 2012 to 2013, okay? So you're looking at 2013 as 2021, basically, is what we're getting at. So if you can get somewhere between 70 and 75 wins this year, that'll be very reminiscent of what they did in 2011 after calling up some of their big-time prospects. And it might be tough. You only have 15 wins right now.
You're not on pace for that now.
Right. So
I think we all think they're better than their record, but their record is their record.
It is what it is, right? So you've got to find a way to start stringing games together. You got to start looking at each month of the season individually. Be 2 or 3 games over 500 in May. Be 2 or 3 games over 500 in June. Be 3 or 4 games over 500 in July. And then give yourself a fighting chance in August. And we all know the Royals play well in September, obviously. They've done for the last number of years, played very well in September. And that will be able to add to your win total if they can still play well in September. But you do have to start stacking up some wins right now. And I think if this ball club does finish, you know, under 70, 71, 72, 73 wins, then it's going to be a real tough sell to a lot of fans out there to say, hey, we're going to be okay. We're going to bring this core back and everything's going to be good. There are going to be a lot of doubters out there. And the real doubt comes because, for whatever reason, this team can't find a way to get off to a hot start. Now, if they get off to a hot start next year, then nobody cares what they did this season. But you've got to start building some momentum right now. And that's part of the reason why Nicky Lopez was called up, help you win some ball games, build some momentum, and start to win again at the big league level. They have to win at the big league level. They know they have to win at the big league level. That's why they're telling their players, hey, we're not out of this thing. Let's go challenge for that second wild card because we need to start winning games at the big league level. So this year snowballs into next year. Next year snowballs into the final year or the next year. And we get kind of a 2011 to 2015 run all over again. But it has to start now.
I mean, this was a team that was starting Chris Owings through the first 40 games. And now they believe that they could win 90 games and make a second wild card spot. It's just an insane, like, not being real with yourself moment that I see there. Because, like, to me, again, I was listening to Carrington yesterday and Sean talking about it. And they're talking about Nicky Lopez, the impact, and how, you know, fans aren't bought in because of the wins of this team. And they think that this team's going to trend to losing 100 games. And for most people who I consider realistic and not having a hot take and not trying to come out there and just, you know, swing for the fences on it. Like, 100 losses doesn't seem outside of the realm of possibility.
More feasible than making a wild card.
Sure.
100%. Like, yeah. If you were to ask me which one's more possible, it's lose 100.
Yeah. But you don't want your organization saying that. You want your organization to believe and to put the pressure on.
I absolutely want my organization to be realistic. I don't want you to go around delusional thinking that you have a team that's going to lose 100 games. But, well, guess what? We're going to keep telling everybody we're going to make the wild card.
And I think that's internally. You have to put pressure on these guys and let them know what has gone on so far is just not acceptable.
I mean, 913 says, if this team wins 90, I'll get a Tyson tattoo on my face.
No, you won't.
I'm going to save that for later.
Yeah,
save but that I, call I think you're going to be safe. I mean, Bob, this is a team that we're halfway through May and they haven't won a road series.
No, I understand that. I'm not saying they're going to get that second wild card. I don't think they're good enough right now to get that second wild card, but I want the organization to tell their players that, hey, this is the goal. Get your ass in gear, start winning games. Here's the level of expectation we're expecting out of you now. And if you're not going to comply and you're not going to achieve what we set forward as expectations, then you're going to hit the bricks.
William and OP, your winner this hour. He gets a Flying Horse Tap Room gift pack just for listing. Another prize giveaway coming up at 9 o'clock. We'll play a little in or out and a total swing and miss when it comes to the Lou next.
Fesco in the morning.
Twelve minutes away from your next chance at $1,000. Be listening for that keyword, 1,000 on the 30s at 8:30. Then remember 72881. When you hear that word, text it in for a chance to win $1,000. The floor is yours, Fesco.
The floor is mine,
yes,
Josh.
Yes. Because if there's anything ever involving St. Louis, I just let you roll.
You just let me go with this?
Yep.
There was an article in the Riverfront Times, which is basically the St. Louis version of the Pitch magazine over
Sounds
in
like a
St.
lovely,
Louis.
Like, I feel like it's like printed on a riverboat.
You do?
Yeah, like it's just, they just kind of go up and down the Mississippi right on the coast of St. Louis there.
Right.
And just, you know, peck away at their little typewriter and then hand out the newspapers when they're done.
There was like an old, like at the end of sitcoms years ago with the guy at the typewriter with the pipe that would throw the script up in the air.
And it would come down and make like a C and something.
Yeah, it was like James Burroughs or something like that production. Remember. I don't remember what it was, but you remember what I'm talking about. So good dog. But that they used to have that kind of thing. So I guess I kind of see where you're going with that one. But the Riverfront Times not quite like that. It's the Pitch Weekly. If you know exactly what the Pitch is, you will understand what the Riverfront Times is. And so there was an article that they had.
Do they
in
have
theirs.
Savage Love in the Riverfront Times?
I don't recall that. To
only,
be honest with
only,
you.
Only reason to read the Pitch.
There was a study done by a group called the Big Travel Website, and it polled its readers, which are 1.5 million, so a big number. And they'll have you know that they ranked 50
accents. Because you can't
fudge
stats on the internet these days.
No, you really can't. You absolutely cannot.
You can't inflate users or anything.
No, not at all. I've never heard of anybody doing
that
on Facebook.
Yes.
But there is a poll they took for 1.5 million people, and they ranked 50 accents from across the United States. And I didn't realize there were 50 different accents. I don't think every state has its own accent. and they rank the top 10 sexiest accents, okay? Number 10 is California. What would the California accent be? Because when I think of a California
Duffy.
Accent,
California.
I think of, no, I think of Duffy going, bro. Do we have Danny Duffy going, bro?
I'm sure I could find Danny Duffy going, bro.
So that's the California accent. Also on the list, Philadelphia. I don't consider Philadelphia a sexy accent at all. That's a California accent. Mm.
Philadelphia's like Rocky.
Hey, you're dead.
Yeah.
That's Adrian. Philadelphia, Adrian. Right?
That was your Rocky impression?
No, that was Rambo. Come on, man. Understand the difference.
There are some subtle nuances. You're right.
That is the Philadelphia accent. The Hawaii accent, I'm thinking of Melekilikimaka is the wise way. So you got that.
What?
You got Mississippi on the list, which I'm sure is just a nice Southern belle. I like Mississippi. Fiddle-dee-dee.
Mississippi.
That sounds an awful lot like the Masters. But yeah,
right. Chicago. We all know the Chicago accent. You know.
Dad.
Maine's
gonna go out to Naperville and watch that Lopez kid play for the Royals.
Yeah,
with my Mitchell Trubisky.
Mitchell Trubisky. Maine comes in at number 4. New York accent.
What is the Maine accent?
You've heard it. You know, it's I forget what they
Mike
say.
Mike DeVito.
Yeah, DeVito.
Mike
kind
DeVito.
Of like a thicker Boston accent, really. New York accent comes in at number 3.
Stuff late in New York City.
New York City.
Get a rope.
Yeah, that's New York. 2 is Boston, which I don't find to be a sexy accent at all. And number 1 is Texas. Y'all. Come on, y'all. That's the Texas accent. All y'all going to go watch y'all
play. I can
see
that. That is kind of sexy.
But also on this list is St. Louis. It comes in at number 9 as the 9th sexiest accent in America. And quite honestly, there really is nothing sexy about St. Louis. Their food's terrible. The people are rotten. And they got half an M as their arch. Okay, great. Fantastic. Their accent is like they can't say... I'll just say the words. Like, Interstate 44, as we would say, is farty far. Like, to me, that's not sexy. To say wash, they say warsh. To say Highway 40,
I'm getting turned on just thinking about
it's Highway farty. So, I don't know.
Well, that's just funny.
It's not a sexy accent, per se. It's kind of a terrible accent.
Different strokes for different folks, Bob.
So you're thinking about sex when I say farty far.
No, I'm just... playing along.
Warsh? No, party?
I'm not thinking about sex
Does that
when
get
you're
you
talking
all
at all.
Hot and bothered?
No.
Does that get you excited? Does that get you excited, Mr. Witkowski?
913 says, wow, some small magazine in St. Louis said something positive about them. Let's all lose our minds.
It wasn't a small magazine in St. Louis. It was a website called the traveling website that we talked about.
Well, actually.
Yeah. So it wasn't.
Big Seven
Travel website. It wasn't St. Louis saying they had sexy. I think they were probably questioning it as well.
Look, it's either this or I tell you about bad TV shows. I mean, you take your pick.
Well, I tell you what, man. Bad TV shows is not where we're going with this one. We're going to stay with the bad accents of St.
Cool.
Louis.
Now all my computers are dead.
Oh,
Ozark is 36.
The Ozarks come in at number 36 on the list?
Yep.
What would the Ozark accent
I love
be?
This. 32nd is General American.
General American. So that would be Kansas.
It's like a regular American.
I think if you're thinking of General America, you're thinking Kansas, Iowa, and Nebraska.
Kansas was 21st.
So like the knockoff of Captain America?
It is General America. Wait a second here, Josh. What would the Kansas accent be?
When are we gonna do it? I don't know. We never get anything.
I don't want to go downtown. Where are we gonna park?
Where are we gonna park?
Yeah, that's the Kansas accent.
That might be it.
Yeah.
That might be it.
The Kansas accent is where are we going to park?
Yeah. St. Louis is 9th. Yeah, count. There's some weird just generalities of accents, which is fine because not. They had 50 of them ranked. It can't have, there's not 50 accents, based on each state. Midwestern is 16th.
Yeah.
Just ahead of Alabama.
Alabama. All right. Let's do a little interview.
Kansas is 21st on this list. So.
In or out?
Just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in.
In or out?
At least you're pumping them out, baby. I like it.
Try to cram it all in.
Nope. In or out?
Really think there's any of those accents. I kind of like the Boston one, I'm not going to lie.
The terrible one. St. Louis is the Boston of the Midwest, insecure.
That's fine. Got a lot of good stuff for you on In or Out this week. Tonight at 7 on Fox, make sure you catch Celebrity MasterChef Family Showdown.
I like MasterChef.
This is going to be an exciting two-night special, by the way. Have four unique challenges. Puts a celebrity duo through the culinary tests, much like MasterChef, except for this one. The contestants will get a sous chef by their side, which will be like one of their kids or some other member of their family or something. Cool. The matchups.
Okay. You're
really going to enjoy these. Tori Spelling and her daughter versus Jenny Garth and her daughter.
Uh-oh.
Ooh.
Oh, a little 90210 throwdown.
Okay.
Johnny Weir, he'll bring his brother. Oh, damn it, the computer went dead again.
Her brother Boz.
Tara Lipinski is going to be there as
Todd.
Well.
Todd.
Yeah, that's not good. Can you read the others?
Lisa Vanderpump and her daughter Pandora will take on Nicole Snooki and JWoww.
Oh, yeah.
Snooki and Evander and Holyfield and his daughter Ebony will take on Oscar De La Hoya and his daughter Ariana.
They always get the top people for these shows.
They really do. They really
like
always do.
Every one of these like singing, cooking shows, they always get the who's who.
They really find the best.
Of actors and celebrities who are manned and relevant.
I mean, they dig up the seat. Like, Lisa Vanderpump is probably the most relevant person on that entire list.
Who the hell is Lisa Vanderpump?
From Vanderpump Rules, owns a bunch of Hollywood bars and restaurants and things like that, and we don't have light anymore.
And there goes the light.
But I think she's probably the most relevant person on that list.
Also for you this week, KFC is introducing the Cinnabon dessert biscuit. I'm very excited. I'm very excited about this.
Please explain, but
A KFC biscuit then topped with Cinnabon cinnamon brown sugar glaze and a signature cream cheese frosting.
That sounds outstanding. Good.
$1 for a biscuit, or you can get four for three.
I like
getting
that. Four.
You get four for $3.
One.
Yeah,
I used to sell blow pops in school to make money on the side. I would sell them for a quarter a piece or three for a dollar. You'd be amazed how many people would give you three for a dollar.
People are dumb. People are dumb. Also, not tonight, but Friday at 7 on Animal Planet. I have the trailer, but we don't have enough time to play this. It is the Nature's Strangest Mysteries Solved. So they go around finding all of these strange mysteries. And the first show, they really left a lot to be desired, because they're like, why do dogs pull pranks on each other is one of the mysteries they want to solve.
I didn't realize dogs pulled pranks on
each other. Dogs pull pranks on each other, and apparently something bit a great white shark. What on earth could have bit a great white? Friday at 7 on Animal Planet.
Or Michael Phelps.
Probably out on that one, but
Animal Planet's got a lot of new stuff coming out this week.
The KFC Cinnabon in.
For sure. MasterChef out.
I don't know why you're out on that. Good stuff.
That is today's In or Out.
Don't want to watch a Johnny Weir trying to chop up vegetables?
No. Your chance to win $1,000, 1,000 on the 30s. Be listening for that keyword straight ahead. The big story and Zion the Pelican could be a thing. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
It's 1,000 on the 30s. Text the word URGE to 72881. URGE, U-R-G-E, URGE to 72881. You could be the $1,000 cash winner in the national contest. As 610 Sports Radio is the only sports radio station in Kansas City, giving you a chance to win up to $12,000 each weekday. Just need to listen on the 30s from 7 to 7. Your next chance coming up at 9:30. Complete rules at 610sports.com. That's URGE, U-R-G-E. To 72881 for your chance at $1,000. Bunch of stuff to get to before 9 o'clock, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. We had a surprise in the NBA draft lottery. And there were two people firing weapons yesterday that actually excited people. We'll get to that after the big story.
It's the big story.
This may be the biggest thing that's ever happened.
If it's what you're talking about, it's what we're talking about.
My God, are you still talking?
Brought to you by Spring Venture Group on Fesco in the Morning.
Big story. Last night, the Royals the winner as they beat Texas 11-5, but it was the Major League debut of one Nicky Lopez, who wasn't in on knocking in runs early when the Royals put up 9 in the first two innings, but delivered late for his first Major League hit and his first Major League RBI.
Here it comes. Swung on, line to left field, and it is a base hit. Here's Witt around third. Here's the throw to the plate, and Nicky Lopez has his first big league hit and his first big league RBI. One pitch, after Whit Merrifield got his 500th career hit.
So pretty cool last night. Nicky Lopez gets his first major league hit, which is a knock, as he followed the guy he's displaced from second base in Whit Merrifield, who picked up, I don't know, three hits, run knocked in,
yeah,
and his 500 hit.
Scored three runs, three for four. Pretty good night for Whit Merrifield.
He was pretty good.
Not bad at all at the top of the lineup, right? Not bad at all there. I thought the cool moment was Whit getting that 500th hit, Nicky Lopez following it up with his first major league hit and driving in a run and giving the Royals that cushion, and they go on to win, what, 11-5 or whatever it was last night. That was a fun night of Royals baseball. Those are the type of games that you have to have when more people are watching your games. I think there are moments throughout the course of the season when you just have to be good as a Major League Baseball team. Opening day, the opening series, those are sometimes you have to be good. When you call up a big-time prospect like the Royals did with Nicky Lopez, you have to be good, and you have to be good, obviously, in the postseason. So when you have these moments that more people are going to be watching and paying attention to, you have to step up your game. And I thought the Royals did that last night. I thought they took their game to a level that maybe we haven't seen. And I don't know about you guys, I had more fun watching that game last night than I probably had all year of watching any Royals baseball game. That was just a fun game to watch. Hits early, runs early, hold down the Texas Rangers early. Barlow pitched well when he had to come in with two guys on. I thought that was a fun performance. Last night was the first time I can sit there and go, I actually had a really fun time watching this team. They gave us a laugher last night, and that's what they needed in that moment, because I'm sure there were a lot more people taking an interest in the Royals last night than they had been over the last couple of weeks because of the way they started the season. And then you have the emergence and the call-up of Nicky Lopez, who we've been looking forward to. They had a bigger audience last night, and I think they delivered for their audience last night.
Lopez on picking up that first knock.
That was one of the more emotional times of, you know, of my career. I was at first base looking up, seeing all the fans cheering, seeing my teammates cheer. I vividly remember looking at home plate and Whit standing there cheering for me too. So, and then I looked up in the press box and saw my parents going nuts. That's when, you know, it hit me a little bit. I was like, wow, this is crazy. This is the way that, you know, I dreamed of it happening when I was a little kid.
Welcome to the show, kid. There's your big story brought to you by Spring Venture Group, a company who is reimagining the relationship between sales, data, and technology. Find out more at springventuregroup.com. Night to remember, certainly, for one, Nicky Lopez. Also kind of a star of the show, not just when the game happened, was Whit Merrifield. Handling it like a champ.
Really is. Really is.
As he's been obviously displaced off second base to make room for Nicky Lopez. He heads to the outfield and had this to say about making the move.
I feel like I worked, you know, and turned myself into one of the best second basemen in the world, really. And now it's best for this team for me to play outfield. And I'm excited for that challenge. I'm ready for that challenge. I'm excited for Nicky. You know, I really am. He's a great kid, a great player from what I've seen, and I'm excited to see what he can do up here. I really think he's going to help our team. And at the end of the day, I'm sick of losing. I really am. And we think he's going to make us better, and whatever is going to make us better is what we're excited for.
So there it is. That's a leader right there. That's your best player saying literally all of the right things. And I don't have a problem that he's mad that they moved them off of second base. I like the fact that he's mad and upset that they moved them off of second base to the outfield. But I also like the fact that he goes, you know what? I understand it. We got to get our best players up here. Nicky Lopez is one of the best players in this system, and he's wasting time in Omaha right now. We need to get him up here. We need to make a spot for him at second base. I'll go to right field. And I think Whit's going to use this kind of as a way to kind of maybe drive himself a little bit, push himself a little bit more, because you know what? You don't think I'm good enough to play second base anymore? Fine. I'll go out here and play right field, and I'll be like Alex Gordon and kind of reinvent myself. And I would not be surprised if we saw Whit Merrifield emerge as one of the better right fielders in baseball just because he has that drive. And he's always had to work for everything. Like this whole move to the outfield is about as Whit Merrifield as you could get. Like every step of the way, Whit Merrifield was counted out, couldn't do it, counted out, couldn't do it, held down in the minor leagues till he was 28, fetching bacon for me and George Brett one spring training, doing all the grunt work and all that kind of stuff. And then he finally gets that call up to the big league level. He's playing second base, and they go, you know what? We think this kid's better at second base than you are, so you're going to need to move to the outfield. Like, this is just on par for who Whit Merrifield is. And you know what Whit Merrifield does when he's given obstacles? He beats those obstacles. He barrels through them. He breaks them down, and he becomes a better baseball player and he continues on that track towards stardom. And he's the best player that the Royals have right now. And I expect really good things from Whit Merrifield in the outfield because he's going to buy in. He's going to accept that role. He's going to go out there and make sure he plays well because he wants to play well for himself. And I think that's going to be great for Royals fans. I think we're looking at another Alex Gordon type of situation where the guy was moved to the outfield and didn't kind of like Mark Tehan it where he wasn't fully bought in. Alex Gordon was fully bought in, and I think Whit Merrifield is fully bought in, and he's got Alex to lean on too. Hey, how did you make this transition mentally and also physically? So I think it's going to be a great move for this organization because you have the buy-in from Whit Merrifield.
Just a perfect 30 seconds as well.
It really was.
Don't forget, I was pretty doggone good at my position.
Right.
I'm happy for Nicky Lopez, and I genuinely am. I like him. I'm rooting for him.
Mm-hmm.
Even Nicky Lopez said, hey, so – Whit clapping when I had my first hit.
Right. How cool was that?
Yeah. And then, you know, the ultimate reason I'm doing this?
Right.
I'm tired of losing.
Right.
That's like that. That's like your perfect teammate right there.
Sure.
I'm good. I'm confident in my abilities. I'm confident this kid. I understand what they're doing. This kid's good. Bring him up. Let's go. And thirdly, I'm tired of losing.
Right. Let's go.
Well done.
Yeah. Bravo. Bravo.
There's your teammate.
I don't know if that was scripted or if he rehearsed that, but boy, did he nail it, man. Yeah. Talk about just absolutely hitting a home run. And then to go out and go 3-for-4 and have a big night offensively too, that's a good night all around for Whit Merrifield. That's a perfect baseball night for Whit Merrifield.
Couple of photos/videos that broke the internet yesterday happened to be people with firearms. I don't know if you caught this yesterday, but Halle Berry getting ready for John Wick 3, I think, almost broke the internet yesterday.
I didn't see that,
but I'm going to search that up right now.
Did she look good?
I'm assuming so.
Attractive woman firing at targets. Yes, it worked. So they sent out, she's getting ready for John Wick 3. And I'm like, okay. The internet. I think Carrington might have broke the internet himself watching this video over and over. And then secondly, Patrick Mahomes. Firing a weapon. Mahomes and the quarterbacks were visiting the Kansas City Police Academy this week as part of National Police Week. And there's a photo that was snapped by the Star of him with some type of rifle. And then Chase Litton, another of the Chiefs quarterbacks. Yeah, he had the same haircut. I guess it must be they have to do that. Also firing some kind of rifle. With police making sure that they're firing safely yesterday,
Halle Berry looks good.
Yeah, that
she's got good form too.
That's not the trailer for the movie, but it might as well be.
It may as well be. You know, the crazy thing too is, you know, we get a lot of messages via our.
She's still
Facebook
with David
page.
Justice.
No, David Justice and Halle Berry haven't been together in a long time. No. She was like with Billy Bob Thornton.
Billy
for a
Butler?
While. No, that was a movie.
That was a movie.
Sometimes I get the two confused. But we get a lot of messages on our Facebook page. You can always just reach out and message us for good or for bad, better or worse. You can find us there. We get a lot of messages. Some of them are good. Most of them are bad. This one very fittingly comes from a gentleman named Kyle who asks, did you see what our quarterback is doing? Is this really how the Chiefs want the face of their franchise presented? How am I supposed to talk to my kid? There it is. How am I supposed to talk to my kids about gun control when his idol is talking about how cool he looks holding a firearm? Kyle,
how he's safely using a weapon with the police there. Watching.
Right.
Kyle referencing the tweet Mahomes sent out. Yo, this pick is fire. 2 flame emojis and a target emoji.
Right.
Also tagged. Chase Litton, I already forgot his name, who has the same haircut. I'm also very bothered by that.
I am too.
I'm more bothered by that than I am by Patrick Mahomes safely using a firearm in the presence of law enforcement. And, oh, by the way, if you look at the picture, he has...
Oh, Litton's a poser, dude. Lose that hairdo.
He has
oh, my
great,
God.
He has great trigger presence, by
what
the way.
What the... Litton, I mean, come on. Was that on a dare? Or do they have to do that now? He looks like a stooge.
You know, Garrick Dieter's getting everybody on board with that haircut.
Well, Dieter got married now, so maybe Litton is kind of the Bobo.
He's the new Dieter?
Well, Garrick Dieter couldn't go. He's not a quarterback.
Either way, let's get back to the main issue here.
I think the main issue is that Chase Litton has no identity of his own, and he's going – like, if you're a kid and you want to go with the Hosmer and the Mahomes haircut, that's fine. But as a grown ass man, you walk into work, you got the same haircut as you because I think you're pretty cool. Dude, you're a man.
Tell Kyle how he's supposed to handle his children.
Well, are we now making an issue out of this with Patrick Mahomes and the gun? Like, are the Chiefs going to have to go into damage control? Because we know how well they handle damage control.
It's just Kyle.
We know how well they handle damage control.
Won't somebody please think of the children?
Now, if you're looking for the overall message, obviously we've discussed far too much. I mean, teams and relationships with local law enforcement.
Sure.
So the Chiefs are out there,
right?
Mm-hmm. Players are out there making connections with local law enforcement.
Good point. That's Josh. Good. That's a great.
That's good.
Point.
The NFL would appreciate that, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, it's national. Like, represent a police officer week.
National Police Week, yeah. right? But let's be honest. If you're going to the police academy as like Joe Citizen, mm-hmm. and you got a chance to go to the police academy, what do you want to do?
You want to fire a gun?
I want to shoot some targets.
Yeah, absolutely. Give me the gun.
Is there a better place to shoot targets than there under the watchful eye of people who are very knowledgeable with firearms?
It's a lot safer than going to a firing range, I'll tell you that.
I would give money to see Patrick Mahomes tase Chase Litton. Or like pepper spray him too. That'd be great.
That would be good, yeah, because he got the same haircut as him. That's weak.
I don't find that this photo of Patrick Mahomes means that he's got that under the seat of his car and he's running around like a reckless. No. Yeah. He's under the watchful eye of police for police week.
Right.
That's it.
He went to the academy, took a couple of swings with a gun, and called it a day. And that's it. And
what am I supposed to do about my kids?
Yeah, you know what? Maybe don't show him that picture if it bothers you that much. I mean, like, if you got a kid and Patrick Mahomes is his idol, I would imagine your kid is probably between the ages of 8 and 15 years of age. Maybe he's not even on social media, doesn't even see, you know, kind of what's going on, you know, with that kind of stuff. So I wouldn't get too worried about it, Kyle. I mean, I just love
what if my kid's unattended on the internet and he sees that? What am I supposed to do? I don't know. Be a better parent.
Be a parent.
Be
yeah.
a parent and take care of the things. All right, buddy?
I like how people always throw that, what do I tell the children? What are the children going to think? I don't know. You're the parent. You raise them. You tell your kids what you believe is right and wrong. You raise your kids the way you want them to act and behave, and everything should be fine. I really resent, quite honestly, when people say, well, what are we going to tell the children? That's like the biggest cop-out that you could possibly have because you as an adult are uncomfortable in the situation and you don't know what to do with it yourself. So you go, well, what are we going to tell the children? Tell the children whatever you think. If you think that you don't like that, then tell your kid that. If you do like that, then tell your kid that. Parent your kid with your beliefs and tell your kid and raise your kid the way you want him or her to act. Don't ask, what are we going to tell the children? Figure it out.
I think it's actually more of a positive message than a negative.
Sure it is.
And with the Kyles of the world that do that, like, to me, it's teaching safe gun use.
And Patrick Mahomes is not here to raise your child either.
Well, I mean, that's debatable.
No, it's not debatable. It's not debatable. Patrick Mahomes or any athlete is not the rear of your children. You are as the parent.
I think that it's promoting safe gun use. And look, we can have, actually, I don't want to have a gun control debate with you at all. But like when we talk about it, like, I think having gun control and getting rid of it is two entirely separate things. What this is showing is that he's practicing safe gun use.
Right.
And all of the things that if you're one of those people that say, oh, let's have some restrictions, let's have some knowledge, let's at least be educated on how to use these firearms rather than just sending people out without any knowledge of how to use them and operate them safely, like, this is a safe environment. This is the way to learn. And I don't know what his background with firearms is. He grew up in Texas, so yeah. I'm going to assume he's handled a weapon before.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, he is promoting safe gun use.
Correct.
And so if you want to step back for a second and look at what he is promoting, because, as you know, the individual said, you know, how am I supposed to talk to my kids about gun control when this is when he says he looks cool holding a firearm? Like, he's doing it safely. That's how I would talk to my kids and say, hey, instead of us just, you know, grabbing these and pulling them out of the hands of responsible gun owners, we start teaching people how to properly and safely use them. And that's what Patrick Mahomes is doing.
Mm-hmm. I think I got to be honest with you. I'm more concerned over Chase Litton's hair than I am over Patrick Mahomes holding a gun.
Yeah,
that really bothers me now. Come on, Litton. That's weak.
Hey, think of the children, Chase. They're going to be good.
I mean, you're a grown ass man.
If Chad Henne has that hairdo, though, I'm going to really be really freaked out.
What if Andy Reid comes in with that hairdo?
I like it though. It's like a nice fade from the bottom. It's nice.
I like it as like if you're a kid and you love Patrick Mahomes as a kid, go get the haircut as a kid. As an adult, create your own identity, bro.
We didn't have enough juice last night from the NBA draft lottery because somehow, some way, the team that had, 6% chance of getting the number one pick got the number one pick.
The second pick will be made by the Memphis Grizzlies, and that means that the number one pick in the 2019 NBA draft goes to the New Orleans Pelicans.
That last night on ESPN, the Pelicans have the number one pick in the draft. Last time they had the number one pick, they used it on Anthony Davis.
Good pick.
2012. Of course, Anthony Davis is looking for any and all ways to get out of town.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Pelicans have the top pick in the driver's seat for Zion Williamson. Just what the NBA thought they could get would be, hey, if Anthony Davis wants out, we're going to get another marquee guy to go to New Orleans,
mm-hmm.
play for the Pelicans.
I think the Pelicans get the number one pick this year because of that trade falling apart with the Los Angeles Lakers, and the NBA knew that they were done wrong with that trade, so they gave them the number one pick.
It's good that there's still conspiracy.
Well, I mean, every year, the NBA draft lottery has set itself up since 1985 when the Knicks got the number one pick in the first ever lottery and they got Patrick Ewing. Everybody believes that there is a conspiracy every year with the NBA draft lottery, and people are going to continue to believe.
And Patrick Ewing there last night,
and Ewing there last night
is kind of standing up for the Knicks and whatever.
Right, but people are going to continue to believe that there are conspiracies involved. Hell, I do, and I think that's fine. I think the way that the New Orleans Pelicans were kind of drugged through the mud, they thought they were going to trade that player and get some picks and stuff in return, weren't able to do it, so they rewarded them with that number one overall pick, and now they're going to have an opportunity to take Zion at number one. And now all of a sudden, if you're Anthony Davis and you're going, I don't know, man, do I kind of want to stay now? If I'm going to get to play with Zion, the number one pick, the two of us, they could do some real damage down there in New Orleans. And New Orleans is a town where I'm 42 years old. I've done enough New Orleans. I don't need to go back. But if you're a young kid, man, that's a lot of fun. It's better than going to Salt Lake City or, Boston or someplace like that. You're going to a fun town. So I don't know why anybody would be really upset if they got drafted by the New Orleans Pelicans, and now Anthony Davis can look at a legit running mate that he has down there, and all of a sudden you got a nice little 1-2 punch.
I would think, though, Zion's been hearing what everybody else has been hearing, New York, New York, New York, New York.
Yeah.
Or maybe L.A.
L.A.
New York, New York, New York. And then to see New Orleans up mm-hmm. there.
Yeah.
So New Orleans, Memphis, then New York, then the Lakers.
Right. Lakers and Knicks back-to-back.
So not exactly how it turned out. For probably the NBA brass last night.
Well, I don't know if it is or it isn't. I mean, you're still picking three if you're the New York Knicks. You're still picking four if you're the Los Angeles Lakers. They're still top picks. They're still
RJ Barrett's not going to move the needle Zion.
He's not. No, he's not.
Knicks.
Zion's the only one that's going to move the needle. And we took a text on the text line going, man, the only one they're talking about is Zion. I go, that's an indictment of college basketball. Right here, in a nutshell, is why college basketball has major issues and why the sport sucks right now. Here's the NBA draft lottery, and I'm going through a mock draft, and I'm like, okay, I've heard of Zion Williamson, obviously. The second overall consensus pick is Ja Morant. I asked you, I said, did anybody know who he was in February? And now he had like...
Yeah, I don't know how much people watched of him, but you definitely heard of him because he was scoring in bunches the last 2 years, but... Had you legitimately, most people sat down and watched him until the tournament? No.
No, and he only had one win in the tournament. So Murray State, who they play nobody, is Ja Morant really good? Or does he have a cool name and scored against a bunch of schlubs? I mean, so that's your second overall pick. RJ Barrett, you mentioned to me, he was the highest recruit in the nation mm-hmm. last year.
Not Zion.
Okay, great.
He was the teammate of Zion, but he was the highest-ranked recruit in the country.
Right, he's projected as the number three overall pick. The number four overall pick is... Rui Hachimura from Gonzaga, never heard of him. And then the fifth overall pick
he's pretty
is,
good, too.
Is he?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know if that, if that's who LeBron wants, but he's a pretty good player.
And then the fifth overall pick is DeAndre Hunter, whose dad fell off the stool for Georgia State.
Ron's kid.
Those are your top five picks right now, consensus speaking, in the NBA draft. 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you knew everybody that was coming out of college and if they were good or not and where they could go and where they played. This right now, when you look at these names, This is a major indictment of college basketball and how awful the sport is right now, that you look at the top five picks and maybe you've heard of four of those guys. Maybe you've watched two of those guys play. And the other couple of guys you're looking at, you go, I don't know what the hell that is. I never heard of that guy before. So there's a major indictment right now with college basketball. They're just not turning out good enough players. There should be more than one player, Josh, in a draft that moves the needle and gets people excited. The Knicks have the third overall pick, and you're like, yeah, nobody else is going to move the needle like Zion Williamson.
No.
There should be other guys in that draft where if we don't get Zion, man, we're getting this guy, and we're excited about him too.
And for the NBA as well. I mean, you Correct. Could really, really hype Zion in New York.
Sure you could.
Zion in New Orleans? I don't think that's going to move the NBA's needle either.
May not. We'll see what happens.
I think people appreciated Anthony Davis being good, but did that move anything, him being in New Orleans for these years?
I have a New Orleans Pelicans dry fit shirt that I work out in from time to time.
How many Pelicans games have you watched? Glad you did spend some money.
No, I didn't spend a dollar. A buddy of mine got it for me when he was down in New Orleans, so I didn't spend it. It was a nice gift. But I don't know, watching Pelicans games, I don't know. I don't even know who the coach is. Is it Andre Avery Gentry? Andre Gentry?
Alvin Gentry?
Alvin Gentry?
I don't know.
Is that the guy?
Dick Motta, as I always go okay. When in doubt.
Yep.
I assume it's Dick Motta. But what do I know about the draft?
Or Bill Fitch.
Bill Fitch is a good one, too. What do I know about the draft? One of the last remnants of the 2013 draft was actually on the Chiefs and then retired. EJ Manuel, of course, retired earlier this week. We were chuckling about that. He didn't even make it to camp. He signed in the offseason and then retired. But he was part of that fantastic 2013 quarterback class, Fesco. EJ Manuel, Geno Smith.
That was your guy.
Mike Glennon, Matt Barkley.
Glennon, is he still in the league?
Ryan Nassib.
Ooh.
Barkley. Tyler Wilson.
Tyler Wilson?
Yeah.
Where did he play?
Raiders, out of the NFL. Landry Jones.
He's still got to be hanging on somewhere, right? Dallas or something like that?
Oakland, it says. Oh. No. He was hanging on in Pittsburgh for a number of years, but apparently he's currently competing with Mike Glennon for the backup job in Oakland, according to Pro Football Talk. Brad Sorensen, Zach Dysart, B.J. Daniels, and Sean Renfrey. How about that quarterback class? 2013, remember that one.
And
Yikes.
You wonder why the Chiefs did not draft Yikes. Anybody number one overall with that pick.
I wanted Geno Smith at number one. I was ready to draft a quarterback. Just give me a quarterback. Also, I always
said Geno Smith was also not taken in the first round that year.
It didn't preclude you from doing it again.
Correct.
I could have drafted Geno Smith. By the time Patrick Mahomes rolled around, I could have realized Geno Smith was garbage. Mm-hmm. Drafted that next guy.
You wanted Geno Smith in the first round.
I am better today with Eric Fisher.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
He's a guy that has played for you and contributed for you. Yeah. So absolutely yes. But if you failed at a quarterback in 2013, it doesn't mean you're done doing quarterbacks. You can continually draft quarterbacks.
I don't know about that.
Because nobody hit from 13.
No, not one.
None of them hit.
And that's why the Chiefs stayed away from that position for so long, because it is such a hit or miss position there. Obviously, they've hit on Patrick Mahomes right now, right? And they've got him. And we don't need to look for a quarterback now. But you wanted Geno Smith in the first round, one overall, and you were hoping that Mahomes may have been there in the third or fourth round for the Chiefs to work as a project quarterback. Thank God you were not in charge of
drafting. Well, no, but that's what he was. So he rocketed up the board. I wanted to be all sneaky and get him in the third round.
Yeah, yeah.
And that just
sneak around, lay in the weeds.
And then he rocketed up the board. So, I mean, I liked him as a quarterback. Didn't think they were going to have to spend that first round, trade up to spend that first round pick to get him.
Are you still hesitant on that move? Or are you good with that?
Oh,
now?
No, that one was absolutely fantastic. Right, absolutely fantastic. I didn't have a problem with the picks they gave up either. Didn't care.
At the time, you were good with that. Okay.
Didn't care. Yeah. Didn't care at all. So,
would you give up your first round? If I would have told you that you were going to get Pat Mahomes and you knew what he is right now, would you give up your first round pick for the next decade to get Patrick Mahomes? I would.
Yeah, because I'd probably do that right now. You're picking like 29th or 30th.
That's
every
what
year.
I'm saying. Yeah.
Who cares?
Right. But even still, even if you weren't picking 29th or 30th, would you give up, like, say you are the New York Giants right now? Would you be willing to trade your first-round pick for the next 10 years
to
the Chiefs for Patrick Mahomes.
You should be.
I think
you want
any
a quarterback
team,
for the next 10 years?
I think any team in the NFL should be willing to do that. It's only one pick
a
year. Would you take? But if I'm the Chiefs, I'm not making that move.
I don't know. I'd roll the dice. I'd find another guy.
You would.
Yeah.
You would absolutely.
With 10 picks?
Wow.
You don't think I can hit on one of them?
I think you're. Are you drunk this morning?
No.
You would do that trade? Oh, we got to take a poll question on that. Ryan, are you taking that trade?
We'll discuss on the other side.
I got to find out if people are on board with that. Are you on Josh's side or my side on you? Wait, hey, let's put it out there. If you were Andy Reid and the Giants offered you
their next 10 first round picks,
their next 10 first round picks for Mahomes, you would make that.
Yeah,
move.
I could find another guy.
No way in hell am I making that move.
Yeah.
All right, 69306. Where are you, Josh's side or my? Wow, you would do that.
1-10 shot.
Holy cow!
So a decade worth of first rounders,
yes. Right?
Yeah,
for Mahomes.
We'll discuss on the other side. This half hour brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. Tell me I'm nuts. That's fine. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.